Are you intrigued by conspiracy theories and the strange, dark, and mysterious? If so, we invite you to subscribe to our new podcast, The Truth Behind the Lies, produced by 1950 Studios and distributed by the Limitless Broadcasting Network.
Do you love podcasts and classic television? Do you want to listen to Secrets Uncovered, the Truth Behind the Lies podcast and rant radio, completely ad-free? At Limitless Broadcasting Network, we bring you all your favorites like The Carol Burnett Show, Alfred Hitchcock Presents, and I Love Lucy without any interruptions. For just $7 a month and $80 a year, you can unlock over 90 hours of quality television and podcast programming. Don't miss out. Subscribe today at limitlessbroadcastingnetwork.com, where endless entertainment awaits.
We have 9/11. It kind of reminds me of when Pearl Harbor happened. Or because that was, the president knew Pearl Harbor was going to happen before it happened. And it was just an excuse for us to get into the war. Just like
they knew that these planes were going to be hijacked well before they were hijacked.
Right. And people,
I'm not so sure
the government that. But they would get in trouble or they would get arrested if they tried to stop it.
Well, because they needed it.
Right.
And they're, you know, I personally, could they have put those planes into the buildings? Absolutely. Do I believe the planes are what brought down the buildings? I do not. Do I think that there was something else added to these planes as they went in? Most likely. Or did they have, you know, directed energy strikes? Did they have missiles? Did they have bombs implanted in the planes as they were flown in? I think most of the passengers on these planes were incapacitated. There were reports. I can't remember which plane it was. This lady got a phone call out. And she said there was gas coming out of the vents. She was trying to call her husband, and she was talking about there was gas coming out of the vents and people were falling unconscious. So,
we can find that. I never heard that.
You didn't hear about that one?
I did not hear about that. Tell me more about that.
That was covered on Alex Jones's show.
Okay.
So, yeah, he's the king of covering the 9/11 conspiracies and stuff.
It's hard to find these days.
I think a lot of the 9/11
stuff has been scrubbed out.
Absolutely. Just looking up stuff for this episode, you find a lot of debunked conspiracy theories. You can't really find anything that actually shows you a spot for true conspiracy theories. It'll give you a list, but it'll tell you the debunked.
Right.
You know.
Right. No, I agree 100%. Looking up this, trying to figure out like what's A to B, when the president knew stuff, when he didn't know stuff, just how the buildings fell. Well, I was watching a video. Demolition. It was steel can't melt, and you remember
steel can melt, but not at that temperature.
So at a certain temperature, it will melt. But like when the plane hit it and they were like, all this fuel helped it melt. That's not true. It's not hot enough.
But they said that it got hot enough to weaken the steel. Okay, I'll give you that. If it weakened with the winds, it doesn't matter how calm a day it is. The wind that those buildings have hitting it at all times.
Oh, for sure.
If it weakened, it would have collapsed like that.
Right.
And it would have taken out all kinds of people in building. Right. It wouldn't have come down.
It's
going to
collapse to the side since people can't see you. So it's going to collapse to the side.
It wouldn't have pancaked like that. You know what I'm saying? It wouldn't have come like
straight down. It would have collapsed to the side.
Right. So I don't buy it. I never have. And most of the people who have heard these stories or were around during it don't believe it either.
Right.
Well, it doesn't matter. You can prove any theory. If you throw enough money at it and find the right people to scream about it, you can prove any side of your story.
Absolutely. And
I believe that they have just found, you know, quack scientists who say that, you know, the planes themselves were the ones that took down the buildings. You
right.
know what I mean? Like the jet fuel and the paper and cardboard, whatever else was inside there, was enough to bring down those buildings.
Right. Are you fighting with your dog?
I am.
Yeah, it sounds like it. Is she trying to play with you?
While I'm on, yeah.
Yeah, well, that's what my dogs try to do. So 9/11, all the what do you think their agenda was? Do you think it was overall the Patriot Act and then going into Baghdad?
I think it was a multifaceted plan. I think that in order to get everybody on board with being able to do such a...
So you needed something to happen.
In order to do some kind of attack like that and to get people on... Because, I mean, we're talking about a domestic attack.
Right.
A very large domestic attack. We're not just talking about the Twin Towers. We're talking about putting the Pentagon into it. And then the other plane that went over, what was it, Pennsylvania that went down?
Yeah, there were supposed to be like four planes.
Yep.
One went over Pennsylvania. One was going, and then they said a plane hit the Pentagon.
Yep.
But did you hear the reporter say, there's no plane here? There's right. nothing. There's no Somebody plane there. Live and on plus, air saying that.
The hole where the plane supposedly went into the Pentagon was too small.
Right.
It's too small. There's no way that a Boeing 747 would have made that small of an impact.
Plus, right.
We're talking about DC. You know what I mean?
Yeah. You mean there's no restricted airfields there are in DC?
Do you know how? If you come within a certain amount of miles, they'll shoot you down, regardless if you're a commercial airline or not.
Right.
You're getting shot down.
Absolutely.
So you're telling me a commercial plane made it that far without fighter jets being scrambled and being right alongside that thing and taking it down if they had to? No. Give me a break.
Somebody should have known about this. Like you can't
Everybody knew about it. We're talking about radar.
Right.
Just radar. Just primitive radar. Picked up that damn plane when it was 300-400 miles away from it. They knew the trajectory it was on. They knew exactly where it was going.
Why do you think they didn't do that? Why did scramble jets and shot it down?
They did. I'm sure they did. That plane didn't hit the Pentagon. They used that as a distraction.
As a distraction for something else.
And had a missile strike that hit the Pentagon. That's the only thing that could have moved fast enough and create that kind of damage and get past our defenses and do the damage it did to the Pentagon. They used a smart bomb, a smart missile that went in there and just, boom, took it out. That was it.
Do you remember right after 9/11, any cameras, like any buildings, like if you're a 7-Eleven and you had a camera facing in there,
it's all confiscated.
Yeah, they went in there and confiscated all the video right after the attack.
Right.
And they did it to every store.
Yes, they did.
Why would they do that? Because they want something covered up.
Yep. They're afraid of what people might see or what might get released. And during that time period, you know, our technology wasn't what it is. There was no way to instantly share it.
Right.
Today, you could. There's no way you could get away with that.
Facebook.
Right.
What was the popping social media platform back then? I don't even think we had one yet.
MySpace?
I think it was MySpace. Yeah. But I don't even think people were sharing this on MySpace.
No, there really wasn't much. Nobody was doing that kind of stuff, you know?
Right.
I mean, your cell phones, we still had, you know, one button scroll through your letters on top of the number to try and send a text.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, no, absolutely.
So, yeah, that was a different time.
It's been confirmed that MySpace was the key social media back in those days. So, thank you for the confirmation, Samantha. So I got a text. She was like, oh, it's MySpace.
Yep.
So can you imagine being in the building at this time? And like the people that were there.
Oh, yeah.
They were just like hopping out of the windows. What do you think their last thought was? Like, I'm going to die
one way or another. I'm going to die. So I'm going to go at my hands. Either I'm going to burn alive or I'm going to.
I'm assuming that's why people jumped.
Yep.
Because the fire was so. So it went into like the first plane got hit like the 52nd floor or the 60th floor. And the other plane hit like.
Well, see, here's the thing. 25th
floor.
There wasn't really fire. you can watch any videos of that at all. You see some smoke,
right?
Because there is a little bit, but it's not like it was a roaring, you know, fire that was stopping people from getting out. Those planes hit stairwells. They hit elevators and stairwells. They block off those damn they blocked off the exit, so all those people were trapped.
Right. So before the actual attacks happened, I hear they were working on the elevators with armed guards around them, like days before it happened. And people are like, that's weird. Why do these technicians need all these armed guards around them? Why are they working?
So they could disable all the methods of escape for all these people.
Right.
You know, you can take down a building, but if you know, it's a tragedy if the building goes down, but it is a true disaster if the loss of human life is enormous.
Right. You know, and that's why they want as much loss of life that day. Almost 3,000 people were killed.
Human life means nothing to these people.
Absolutely not. Nothing. We're both expendable. Highly expendable.
It's not just us both. It's everybody on this planet. There are the haves, and then there are the have-nots. They believe that they are entitled to everything, and we are the serfs. You know, we are the ones that if you know that expression, in order to make an omelet, you have to break a few eggs. We're their eggs, and they don't care how many eggs they break. I mean, they just don't. That's where human resources comes from. You know,
right.
We're just a resource.
Right. You know?
We're the dumb breeders. You know what I mean? So.
Right. Right. No,
that's
absolutely
the way they look at us.
People in the building on 9/11, the people that got out, they kept saying they heard pops, pop, 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 pop.
Uh-huh.
Before like big explosions happen.
Yeah. It's the explosions. It was the explosives going off, getting ready to detonate the building so it could drop, taking out the support beams.
Absolutely.
It happens at any demolition.
If you look at like when they tore down the Wynn or the Stardust from the casino out in Vegas, it went down the same way the towers went down.
Yeah,
the same identical thing. And then they say, no, a plane did this.
Nope. There's no way. And I mean, anybody who's a rational thinker, I mean, you don't even have to be the smartest person on the planet. If you just look at it logically.
Right.
There's no way. No way that that makes sense to you. It doesn't matter how many times this is the definition of gaslighting. You know what I mean?
Oh, yeah.
And people that actually believe that this happened, I mean, I believe the tragedy happened. I believe the disaster happened.
Right.
That is not, but it's the method that they used to create this disaster.
Right.
And they did it to us. And our own government was complicit in doing this.
Well, it's not the first time the government has been complicit to do things like.
No, not at all.
In Cuba, they were trying to get us into war in Cuba. They were thinking about hijacking some bus and like. Killing a bunch of people and saying the Cubans did it. And that would have got us to go out to war with Fidel Castro.
Yep.
But for some reason, that didn't happen. Pearl Harbor was an inside job. They knew exactly when the bombs were going to be. I mean, that's confirmed to this day. What else? I mean, the list can go on and on. It kind of reminds me of what we did to the Indians. We were friends with them. And then we gave them all these blankets full of smallpox and everything. And we just wanted their land.
Right.
And so it's kind of something like that.
100% it is.
So what do you think the outcome has been from all this?
The Gulf of Tonkin. That was another one that got us into Vietnam.
Explain that one for the viewers.
For the viewers, Gulf of Tonkin?
Yeah.
It was let's see. Get it right. It's where the United States forces were carrying out covert amphibious operations on the North Vietnamese, and they were blaming it on others to get us into it.
Okay.
To get our involvement in Vietnam, because we were trying to stay out of it.
Right, we were trying to stay neutral.
Yep.
So
it was kind of the same with World War II, you know? We were staying out of that one.
I know, and I agree.
Pearl Harbor hit, and we were in the war.
Yeah. And that they knew exactly if that happened, there would be an outcry of support. And then Americans, have you ever noticed if something happens to this country, we come together, Americans come together and want to fight.
Yeah.
That's one thing that they weren't counting on, especially with 9/11. The unity of being an American was so strong, especially after it went down. Oh, I'm a proud American, and everybody hanging up their flags. They counted on that. Nowadays.
They knew that. They knew that was going to happen. They knew that that was the perfect. They use predictive programming. They know exactly what it takes to push people to get the desired reaction that they want. They knew exactly what to do to get us right where they wanted us. We hook, line, and sinker agreed to the Patriot Act.
Oh, absolutely. We begged for it.
We had that security now, but yes, we gave up all kinds of liberties for it.
They can legally spy on us without warrants. Yeah, they can enter our property without warrants. If they think you're a terrorist, they can hold you indefinitely without going to court because of the Patriot Act.
Well, you got to really read these things because they can't just do this stuff, but it's real easy to classify you as something. It's real easy. I mean, you'd be surprised how loosely they use domestic terror. You know what I mean? They can put that title on anybody basically.
Well,
because it doesn't take very much to be called a domestic terrorist because all you are is
ties into the 9/11 as well.
Ish. Yes. He found out the truth about what was going on with the country, and then he decided he was going to do some rectification for it.
And that's how, right.
But, I mean, that's one version of it. The other version is he was an MK Ultra.
True.
You know, he was, what's the word I'm looking for? He was
a Manchurian candidate?
Well, under MK Ultra,
you can
he
go
was one of the. They just used that kind of mind control programming, round him up, sent him in there, and let him do his thing. I mean, he was the perfect patsy for it.
Right. I mean, we definitely should do an episode on the Oklahoma City bombing because that indirectly ties into all of this. We'll see what you think.
Right.
There's so many, like, all these conspiracies are so convoluted. They're all interconnected.
Well, the problem with 9/11 is that so many people died
for greed.
It was greed. I mean,
it was over greed.
It was greed for some. It was over power control and, you know, the ability to spy on us all by some. It was over a family's, you know, butthurt philosophies, you know, that they wanted to get in there and get their name back, you know. Mm-hmm. But also there were items in Iraq that other power structures wanted control of.
Right.
You know, Iraq is supposedly you know, had a working Stargate, and whoever has control of those Stargates has control of a lot of things. That's interdimensional travel right there.
Right.
Not to mention all the antiquities that proved where civilization began and where we came from. And the Anunnaki.
Yeah, that's exactly right. You're talking about the Anunnaki.
And those who control that kind of stuff control the true power. I mean, greed and family vendettas and things like that, that's minor stuff. But it's when you get into the real things, the beginning of our species, you know?
Right.
Controlling the actual
world.
Controlling the implements that help these interdimensional beings go back and forth, you know?
Right.
That's a pretty profound power to have control of, and to have a working one. And I've heard that it's not the only working one, and there's a few of them in the world.
Where would be another one?
That was an easy one for us to get to, because it was already in a conflict area, so that was easy for us to get to.
Was that in the green zone?
Do what?
Was that in the green zone? I feel like it was. I feel like they made a movie that it was like looking for weapons of mass destruction, and they cleared it. But the reason why they went in there was because of the Stargate.
Oh, well, they've made movies about all kinds of stuff like that. But the only weapons of mass destruction were what was found in these libraries and in these museums. And the true information, you know, because the things that were there could have destroyed religion
and brought it down to his knees.
Religion is the main way to control the population.
Right.
I mean, they've been doing it for a millennia. So if you could topple religions by uncovering what was actually documented in there, you know, physically there, just needing to be shown to people, they're never going to let that out.
You know, absolutely, what I mean?
There's no way. The churches make too much money and have too much control over people. And can you imagine what would happen to people if they were to find out that, you know, their belief system isn't exactly what they think it is? And I'm not here to argue theology with anybody like that. I mean, believe what you want to. That's a great thing about this world. You can believe anything you want. You know what I mean?
Right.
I mean, there are those who believe in that. What is it? The flying spaghetti monster thing. So
you lost me on that. This flying spaghetti monster. What's that?
What are they? Pastafarians?
I don't know.
Yeah. Let's see.
We don't know.
Yeah, Pastafarianism, also known as the Church of the Flying Spaghetti Monster.
I'm saying
you can believe in whatever you want.
Right, right.
But if there is proof of the origin, you know, the origination of our species in the Middle East, you know,
they're never going to let that out.
That's not going to be something that is ever going to see the light of day.
Absolutely not.
Not just I mean, that's like when they went to Egypt. Every time there's a major archaeological find in Egypt, the governments go in there first.
Right.
And they see what's there before it's allowed to be released to any museum or anywhere like that.
The
Smithsonian is controlled by the government.
And it's very
Have so much stuff that'll never be seen by anybody.
Just like the Vatican does too.
The Vatican's archives are books.
I hear they have a working time machine that they can look into the past. They have goggles that you look in and you can see the past and what happened. And it's at the Vatican. They have things sealed off that they'll never bring up. You know?
I do know what you're talking about.
That came out couple years ago. A whistleblower came out and was like, yeah, there's a working time machine there. I can't remember what it's actually called.
Chronovisor.
Yes.
The chronovisor.
That you could look at the past.
Well, I'm not saying they do and I'm not saying they don't, but if they go through such trouble to debunk and make sure that we don't ever get the chance to see any of these things, you know, it makes me think that maybe there's some truth to it.
So you don't ever think there'll be a time where all this stuff, it just comes out and says, yep, aliens are real. Everything that we've came out and said is a lie. There's people on Mars. Well, we have bases on Mars. All this.
They're working on. I mean, there are some things that are coming out that they have to. It's just getting too hard to control. The way the genie is almost out of the bottle and they can't put it back in. They're starting to have to. Extraterrestrials. They're slowly starting to admit.
They're there. They're real.
They've told us for 100 years that, you know, there's no such thing as aliens. You know, don't believe this. Don't believe that. If they go back and completely say, you know what, hey, we lied to you. This is what we found. This is what's here. They lose all credibility. People will be in an uproar. Right. There's too many people that are too invested in it. You still have a large majority of the public that will believe hook, line, and sinker whatever the government tells them. And even the ones that do question a little bit are still in the back of their mind like, well, no, there's no way they would actually lie to us, you know, because they're our government. They're for us, you know, and we get new people in there. So how could they pop? Because everybody has a way to be controlled. Right. It doesn't matter who you are. If you make it into politics, they've got a way to control you. Right. They're going to find a way to control you. They're going to find some way to gather incriminating evidence or get you in a compromising scenario.
Something. Everybody can be blackmailed.
And you are going to be under their control. And for most people, it's money. There's no way that these people go into public office, you know, barely rubbing two nickels together and coming out multimillionaires. Right. You know what I mean? Because
they're being paid to keep their mouth shut.
Well, not necessarily mouth shut. It's to push whatever line they want. Or it doesn't matter if it's pushing that, you know, 9/11 was, you know, a terroristic operation, and it was buildings were brought down by planes, and Building 7 was brought down by, you know, a piece of paper was on fire and caught the right draft and blew through the window and came down. You know, it started. Who knows?
They can always find
somebody to do that.
What did they say about Building 7 and why it came down?
They obfuscated that one. They never really gave anything.
But people just filled in the blanks and they were like, well, obviously something happened.
Yeah.
Nobody pushed that topic.
It was pushed, but it wasn't pushed on. If it was pushed on like the news or something like that, it was always shifted to another topic real quick. Right. You were always cut off. You were always spoken over, you know. Nothing was ever, the only time it was ever talked about or pushed was through, you know, a conspiracy related show or somebody who was trying to bring upon a different topic or different narrative. Viewpoint. Yeah.
Right.
So,
but they would always make that person look crazy because they're just like, this can't be real. This is what the government said has happened. But if you look at the cold hard facts, it just doesn't add up.
Well, and that was the thing with Alex Jones. I mean, Alex Jones has a lot of very, very good information on these topics. He put in a lot of legwork on it. Problem is, he's a very eccentric person, and he got wrapped up. You know what I mean? He gave him an inch to run on with him being crazy, and it discounted everything all the true things he brought up before. But this guy.
Subscribe now to LimitlessBroadcastingNetwork.com to finish listening to the episode ad-free.
What turns on a killer is the suffering and death of another human being. And as his determination builds to take another life, he plans in obsessive detail what props he'll bring, what knots he'll tie. Let me ask you guys something. What turns you on?
Welcome to Canvas and Crime, your ultimate destination for true crime and horror merchandise. Meet Elizabeth, the creative force behind canvasandcrime.com. She combined her passion for painting with her fascination for true crime and horror, giving birth to this unique shop.
You're looking for an intelligent white male, 20 to 30 years old, socially functional.
Are you a fan of serial killer memorabilia? You're in luck. Canvas and Crime has an incredible selection, from iconic mugs featuring notorious figures like Ted Bundy and the Zodiac Killer, to killer shot glass sets that showcase your favorite serial killers.
All I know to do is change your locks, tighten up your security, and pray.
But that's not all. You can also find custom prints of your most loved serial killer, adding a personal touch to your collection.
for the most entertaining serial killer merchandise, look no further than canvasandcrime.com. Support a small business and dive into the chilling fun. Shop today, and don't forget to follow Canvas and Crime on YouTube as well.
You're listening to the Limitless Broadcasting Network.
Hi, I'm Doug Jones, but you are listening to the Pixie Dust Twins podcast.
All it takes is faith and trust. Oh, and something I forgot. Dust, just a little bit of pixie dust.
I only hope that we never lose sight of one thing, that it was all started by a mouse.
To live. To live will be an awfully big adventure.
Some imagination, huh?
Good day, mate.
I'm Mary Kate.
And I'm Ashley.
Samantha?
I don't even know it's Samantha.
Danny boy, where are you?
Hi-ho, Kermit the Frog here, and welcome to Muppet Vision 3D.
I may be dead, but I'm still pretty.
Come on, Gar. We're here. Happiest place on Earth.
Shall we begin?
Welcome, Pixie Dusters. We're your favorite hosts. I'm Sammy.
I'm Ashley. Welcome to the Pixie Dust Twins podcast featuring Dawn.
Oh, hey.
And of course, we are produced by Limitless Broadcasting Network.
Check out all of our social media. We've got Instagram, Facebook, YouTube Shorts, and TikTok.
Also, we have a website, www.limitlessbroadcasting.com. It's been under construction. I don't know. This is at the end
of
the month.
I don't know where we're at. I have no idea.
We might be under construction still. I don't know.
I don't know either, to be honest.
Dan's making our construction noises for us.
Yep. If only he had the hat to go with it.
You know? I know. I need a hard hat.
Ooh, I have one at home. I have one at my dad's house. I can send it down.
There we go. Okay.
It doesn't help me in this very moment, but I'll take it.
Yeah. I guess in the future.
In the future.
In the future. We shall be traveling through the night.
Oh my God.
Listen, you said in the future. And that just... Okay. If you were a Disney adult that have went to Space Mountain back in the early 2000s, you should know that line.
Back in the day.
Should have known.
Back in the day.
Oh, gosh. I got backed in the day on my Instagram account. Someone did a reel about, like, talking about how, like, their dad told them to go north or south instead of, like, tell me to turn at Starbucks. And I'm like, honey, at least you have GPS.
Right.
Oh, that's all I said. That's all I said is at least you have GPS. Mm-hmm. And then someone commented underneath me. He's like, that's the most back in the day comment I've ever heard. I'm like, I didn't say back in the day. I didn't say that I didn't have those things. I just said at least you have GPS.
Right. You didn't say, like, let's pull it on MapQuest for now, like, you know?
I could have said, you know, we had MapQuest and I had to have my dad tell me north or south and then tell him, no, is it the here or there? Exactly.
I'm going to be really honest with you. I have actually said MapQuest in, like, everyday conversation when I'm talking about Google Maps. Like, it's just ingrained somewhat.
Yes, it's ingrained.
No, like, I was having a conversation with, I think, with Aurora about about a year ago or so. We were talking about something. I don't remember what it was, but it was just like, oh, yeah, no, when I looked it up on MapQuest, we did this thing. And we're, you mean Google Maps? I was like, oh, my God. I really just, so, yep. You know.
Wait, remind me, how old is she? Is she our age or is she younger?
She's
older?
Our age, like 2 years younger than me.
Okay.
We're all in the same, yeah.
Okay, mm-hmm. I couldn't remember where she kind of, if she was younger, older, same age, if she grew up in our era or what. I'm not sure. Anyways, so I'm like, listen here, little kid, sit your butt down. Like, shush.
Exactly.
You have no idea. Like, I specifically remember driving to Camp Mishawana the summer after my senior year to go 3 hours north, and dad, like, wrote out directions for me, and the road he wrote out was not named that on the intersection. It was like, yes. Dad like said it was Highway 42 or something, but it was an actual name, and I missed it. And I remember crying him on my flip phone, crying.
Yes, I thought I was lost. Been there, done that with my mom. Like,
it's this street as well. I'm like, you gotta teach me these things. Like,
I need to know the specifics. Yeah, I've definitely had that happen to me, where I'm like calling my mom, and I'm just like, you didn't give me the right street name. Yeah.
Well, here's an interesting question. So are you better at remembering street names or street numbers?
Neither.
Neither?
I'm not very good at directions. Well, it's interesting,
No, I don't think I've ever driven. Maybe once a couple times back in college. I don't think I've ever driven with you.
Because Holly refused to let me drive in college.
That's fair. No, I drove with you one time, and that was during Ralph and Holly's wedding weekend. You drove me somewhere. I forget where, but you were really stressed. And I was trying to make jokes to kind of like ease the tension, and you just got madder at me. So I was like, I'm just going to, you know.
Yeah, when Ashley drives and she doesn't know where she's going and she's getting stressed, you don't want to talk to me.
I learned that the hard way. I was like, all right.
Well, I love that.
Yeah, my husband learned that the hard way too.
Yeah.
I love that. That's so funny.
Yeah. It was probably, well, I was fighting with her mom, so there was that stress.
There was that whole thing.
And I believe that might have been the day of the wedding. I was fighting with her mom. Her mom was making her late because she didn't want her to have artificial flowers for her bouquet. So she made her go to a florist and get a bouquet of real flowers the day of her wedding. Like, she was literally, she didn't get there until 20 minutes before she was supposed to walk down the aisle. Mm-mm. Like, I mean, Holly is known for being late. Like, she knows this. We have made this joke to her forever. And I was supposed to take her to the church, but no, her mom had to intervene. Marie and her mom still don't talk. We avoid each other like the plague. Yeah, so Ashley was super stressed.
Cindy.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I wasn't going to say her name, but okay. Yes. You're fine.
It's not like she watches this show anyway.
Just, I don't think. As long as Robbie doesn't make this a reel and tag me, we're good.
Yeah, probably not.
No. Yeah.
Oh, goodness. But let's talk about happy things. Like, yes. I think this is this the last week of shorts, or are we doing one more week after this?
One more, and then we're done.
So we're still the last week of our summer of shorts.
Mm-hmm. Wow.
Sound familiar. Was that a thing on Disney Channel?
Summer of shorts?
Move on. I'm gonna look at this.
You might be thinking of Salute Your Shorts, which was
that's what I'm thinking of.
Okay.
Was that Nickelodeon? I feel like it was Nickelodeon.
That's Nickelodeon.
Nickelodeon?
That's Nickelodeon.
I just remember something with shorts.
100% Nickelodeon.
Yes, I remember that show.
Yeah.
Okay, anyways, moving on. What are we talking about today?
What are we talking about? Okay, so we are doing shorts from One Day at Disney. Which is kind of what it sounds like. Basically, you get to go spend some time with someone who works at Disney in some capacity. And there's a lot of episodes. A lot.
Like 50, I think, or more. Yeah,
it's crazy. We're not doing that many.
Like, watch all of them. Watch them all.
No, I went down I did look at the full list and then just made selections. Essentially, is what happened. So the first one we're going to talk about is actually episode one. It's Animator, and it features Eric Goldberg. So Eric Goldberg is a legendary hand-drawn animator. So one of the, Renaissance OGs. Okay. Yes. And he tells a really great story about how he got to do the animation of Genie that convinced Robin Williams to be the Genie. Which is
that he made Robin Williams laugh, which is
exactly rare. And that's like the highlight, of his career. So understandable. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Wow.
Yeah. He joined for Aladdin and he worked on a lot of those Renaissance films and he did some stuff for Shanghai Disneyland. It's crazy. This guy is. Yeah.
Well, and what's funny is that he was rejected by Disney's college program in the 70s.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, they're like, no, we don't need you. And then they went recruiting him later. So
yeah, probably somebody who wasn't there, like the person they showed. It's like, okay, this person looks like a younger person who probably wasn't there in the 70s.
Exactly.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And I remember him saying, he's like, if I don't jump on this train, I'm going to regret it. And I'm like, mm-hmm. Yeah, you would.
You would have. Yes, you would have. Especially when right out the bat, you're
working with Robin Williams.
Robin Williams. I mean, come on. Yeah, it's crazy. Yeah. It's crazy.
I think they told him he was going to be working with Robin. And that's like, they okay, must if have. I don't jump on this,
mm-hmm.
I have a problem. There's a problem.
Yeah, they probably did. Yeah.
Yeah.
So after that, we jump to episode 5, which is Bob Iger, CEO, not the current CEO anymore, but was for a while. Yes, the last CEO. So, yeah, we basically get to learn a little bit more about Iger outside of running Disney, you know, mm-hmm. about what inspires him, what he originally thought he was going to do growing up.
It's funny he wanted to be Walter Cronkite.
Right? I'm just like, wow. Okay, that's crazy. Mm-hmm. Yeah, and he talks about the Disney magic, and I mean, it's interesting to see him. Yeah.
Yeah.
Episode 8, of course, I picked because this one is Estee Meza from Lucasfilm Events.
Okay.
So he's the senior manager of logistics and events for Lucasfilm. So I was like, okay, well, obviously,
I want his job.
Very cool. I obviously didn't know this was a thing. It makes sense that it is a thing, but he gets to plan like the Star Wars events, like the fan stuff, celebration, and he gets to freaking walk around with a BB-8 as, you know, engagement. It's crazy.
Mm-hmm. I want his job.
Yeah.
He has a legit job. I want to have create these events for the fans.
Very cool. Very cool job.
Very cool.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I just, very cool.
He gets a beep.
I know. It's so cute, though, how he said he talks to BB-8, too, mm-hmm. even though he's in charge of BB-8. It's like, oh.
I love it. I want my BB-8. To him too.
I would just talk to BB-8 all day. That's mm-hmm. all it would do. Then we go to episode 17, which is Morgan Pope, who's an R&D Imagineer. So he's part of the research and development. That's what he does.
Creepy.
It was crazy. I didn't really know. Like, I just picked it because it said Imagineer. Yeah. And I was like, okay, sure. And then we got into it. I was like, oh, that's weird. Which your building is very, very creepy. So, yeah.
He is building Skynet.
He honestly is. But essentially what he's working on is for what is part of Avengers Campus. They have the Spider-Man that like flies through the air and stuff. That's what he was working on. But it is really interesting to see how it developed. You know, it started off as just this really crude thing. And then it just slowly, as they figure it out, developed over time. And it's really insane what that robot can do. It really is crazy. Flying through the air like that. That's nuts.
Wow. Yes. As soon as I saw it, I'm like, oh no, Disney's going to be the one. Disney's creating it. Dang it, Disney! No!
They're going to bring us down. They're going to bring us down.
Disney or Apple, one of the two.
No, I'm pretty sure it's Disney. Like, did you watch it?
I didn't see it, no.
Now, I can see Disney and Apple coming together and Apple's AI with Disney's robots, then we're really screwed.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
but
I was freaking out the whole time. I'm like, no, why are we making robots that can flip and jump and fly through the air that look exactly like humans? Like, have we not learned from sci-fi that this should not be happening?
Yeah, it's crazy what that thing can do. Wow. It's literally insane. Mm-hmm. And I mean, I've seen the finished product too, and I'm just like, wow, it's just about blows my mind. And you look at it.
I mean, Spider-Man. It doesn't necessarily have to be a killing machine. It could be an acrobat. It could perform.
They start out innocent. Have you not watched these shows? They start out very innocent, and then it turns killer.
No, I've seen the movies. I'm just, you know, I mean, maybe we could program them to not do that. To, you know.
I mean, maybe this is all he wants to do. Well, maybe this is all he wants to do, though.
I mean,
hopefully.
He's like, guys, I swear, I'm not a killing machine. I just want to dance. Okay, that that's a dancing it. Robot. He doesn't want to kill people. He just wants to dance.
That's all. That's
the world I live in. You know, no killing machines, just robots who dance, and we all dance with them.
Okay,
we'll go. Reached the top of the food chain. Now we dance.
There we go. There we go.
I'm about it.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Yeah. Anyway, so the next one we watch is episode 24, Stephanie Carroll, and she's a ranch hand at Walt Disney World. And this was solely picked because I was like, there's horses and this is for Ashley.
Specifically, she is the ranch hand at Tri-Circle D Ranch. Mm-hmm. At Disney Wilderness Resort and Campground.
Yes, and those horses are treated much better than we are. Let me tell you, man, they're living the life over there. They're getting exercise, good food, nice warm baths. It's just
if my horse Sammy was still alive and saw that and understood it, she would be so ticked at me.
She'd be like, "You're a terrible caregiver."
Oh my gosh. And they're just so loved and they're just so pretty.
They are very much loved. Yes. And so when you see them
while watching it,
you got Cinderella's carriage, you got the other carriages that they pull and the trolley. And it's always nice to know that behind the scenes, they are just so well taken care of. And these people really care about them. Mm-hmm. It's very important that they take very good care of them, which I've always gotten that vibe anyway, but it's nice to see behind the scenes, you know?
Yeah. Especially, and horses, they're just, I don't know, there's something about horses. They're just so majestic and amazing. Mm-hmm. And you have to have so much respect for these creatures because we'll probably talk about this also with the next episode we talk about with the wildlife, but these horses are huge. They're thousands of pounds. They can kill you like that. You have to build trust with them. You have to train them right, honestly, or you're done. And in these moments in the episode, they showed this little girl petting the horse. I'm like, oh my gosh, that was me like 20 years ago, 30 years ago, however long it was, probably 30 years ago of wanting to pet this horse and see it. And I'm like, I went down the wrong career path.
I was thinking I was like, this is Ashley's job or
no, I would have to get into really good physical shape to get back into working with horses again. It has been a long time. It takes a lot of physicality to take care of a horse, to ride a horse, to hooves, bathe it, all of it. You have to be in good shape to be able to do this. And my lungs would die. At this point.
Yeah, their poop, you can tell.
Their poop is heavy. Heavy. Mm-hmm. I haven't done it in, when did Sammy pass away? Not this Sammy. My horse's name was Sammy.
By the way, just to be clear.
That was not the name I gave it. I got her that way. She was 31 when she passed. And that was 2000 and I got her in 99. Hold on. She was 15 in 1999. So another 16 years. That was 2015 when she passed. Yeah. And I gave her away. She was with another family for a couple of years before. Because I moved to Florida at that point. Or at one point. Maybe it was earlier. I don't remember.
It's a good long life though.
She had a very good long life, yes.
I assume. I don't know what the average lifespan for a horse is, but I would assume 30. That's... Okay.
Yeah.
Yep. Yep. She lasted her full lifespan. She had no health issues. She was very spoiled because most horses have to stay in stalls. Even there, they're in stalls and they move them out. She didn't have to do that. She had a stall with a door, and as long as it wasn't storming, where she could get her dad left the door open and she could meander out the door into the pasture and back in.
Oh, that's great.
She had it made.
Yeah.
She didn't have to she didn't have to work. She hung out with the cats. The barn cats loved her. Yeah. She had a good life. But no. Oh. I need to look into it. I'm pretty sure they have it again where you can do horseback riding. because they did it during COVID.
Right.
So I think it's back. And if that's the case, I'm doing it this time coming in, whether my family joins me or not. Like,
oh, yeah,
I will go by myself and I will go ride some horses.
Yeah,
absolutely.
Oh, I love it.
Yeah.
But yeah, she was talking about, Stephanie was talking about how like these horses, they encompass like these, the horses you see on screen. So like the Cinderella horses for the Cinderella carriage. She says she sees these little kids would come up and be like, oh, I saw these horses on my TV on the movie.
So cute. Because
they're like the white, and they just, when they filmed this, they just had a colt be born. That's going to be a Cinderella horse. And I mean, it's probably old enough now that it probably is, because they go pretty quick. And it just, this is magical to me. I love this. This is magical to me.
Yeah.
This is your home.
It is. Yeah. It is my home. And absolutely. And Circle D Ranch would be like a great place for me to hang out while I'm at Disney. Just we haven't been to the campgrounds in a while because of all the changes.
Right. Yeah. Well, then our last episode is episode 42. Dr. Natalie, I don't know how to say her last name. She's a vet. I'm not going to try and butcher her name. Dr. M. Natalie M. She's a wildlife veterinarian. And yeah, we basically just get to see what she does at the animal kingdom, the seas with Nemo and friends, you know, anywhere they've got live animals. And what I thought was most interesting was, I don't know, I think of like people doctors and there's like specialists, right? Like you see like your primary doctor does general stuff, which I'm like, okay, that'd be like dogs and cats and stuff.
Yeah.
And then like you have to go to a specialist for other things. No, this lady is out here just every freaking animal. She sees them all. Doesn't matter how big, small, whatever they are. And I thought that was so interesting and how much knowledge she must have about every animal that's out there. It's insane. And the little porcupine at the beginning.
Oh my gosh, so cute.
Oh my gosh, I'm like, I want a porcupine. It's so cute.
I know.
Oh, it's adorable.
Oh goodness. Just, even the rhino was adorable, like coming up to her and like, yeah, go ahead, take care of me.
I know. And it's so funny how she's just, which makes sense though, how she's like, they decide, you know, if the rhino's like, I want to see you. I don't want to be involved in a checkup today. Then they're like, all right, we'll come back another day. It's your choice. You don't want to see me. You don't want to see me.
That's the one, like, that is the thing about Disney. And I feel like hopefully other zoos do this.
Yeah.
Is that it's up to the animal. They don't force the animals to do anything, which is amazing.
Right.
Because that is how it should be. Yeah, we got to see her in the episode. You see her interacting with a rhino, with a stingray, and she's like handling the stinger part of the ray, and to, like, make sure it's
another day, whatever, broken.
Yep. I think it was like they were mending it or something.
That's what it sounded like,
And I'm like, oh dang, be careful! We lost the people with that thing.
Yeah, exactly. Made me nervous.
It made me nervous too. Yeah. I'm like, what is happening?
Yeah.
But yeah, she like, and she does work with this place or this program called Grace over in, I think she said Congo with gorillas.
I believe it was the Congo,
she really loves gorillas.
Yeah.
Which I think is just big. I think a lot of wildlife people, like many wildlife people I've met or watched on TV or any sort of thing, like gorillas is huge to them.
It seems like it, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, angry.
But yeah, it was cool to watch.
Yeah,
I mean, there's a good chance we've seen her at Animal Kingdom if we were back at Planet Watch and
I know.
They were doing things with the animals.
Yeah, something going on. Yeah, there's a good chance. You're exactly right. So now I'm going to try and remember her face, you know, just in case.
I'm going to try to remember Stephanie's face too, because I pay attention to the horse carriages and stuff going around.
She might see her on the trolley at the Magic Kingdom.
Yeah, because there's no Tri-Circle D Ranch in Disneyland. Like, she's in Florida.
Right. Yeah. No, she's definitely at Disney World. So, yeah, you might see her. You can tell she really loves her job. Both of them.
She does.
Everybody in this loves her job. You can tell. Yeah.
Yeah. Ugh. And probably all the other episodes as well. There were some interesting ones. Like, I was looking through kind of all of them.
Yeah, there looked like there were a lot of interesting ones. I really want to go back and check out more of them.
Yeah, I do too.
Honestly.
Let's see here. Where was one of them?
I can't remember what all they were.
Storybook artist, Grace Lee. I want to watch that one. Imagineering Construction. I would love to watch that one.
Mm-hmm.
Seamstress, I think, would be cool to watch.
Mm-hmm.
You know, in the thing here, she's dressing one of the dolls for Small World.
I think that's why I did pass it up, because I was like,
you saw the doll?
Yeah, her job is probably cool, but no.
Let's see here. Candy Maker would be cool. There's a Pixar University?
I'm not surprised.
Interesting.
Mm-hmm. I did know that outside of this.
I don't think I knew that. Yeah, there's just some very, like, helicopter reporter.
It's insane how many different jobs they were featuring in this.
Yeah.
Chef Chocolatier. Rideshow Technician.
Mm-hmm.
There's another R&D Imagineer. Play-by-play commentator for ESPN. Mm-hmm. Disney Theatrical Productions, that would be cool.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, I need to just go
so many
these.
Good options. Yeah.
It's considered a docuseries.
Mm-hmm.
But then there is, it looks like you can watch the whole documentary in 1 hour and 2 minutes.
Yeah, so they do have one bulk version of it, or you can watch each episode if you want to just pick and choose.
That's like cool. Did. That's good to know for our people.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Interesting. Oh, here's one, a docuseries called Sketchbook. And it's teaching how to draw different characters. Sammy, this is up your alley.
Ooh. Let me look that up.
Olaf the Genie.
Sketchbook.
There's six.
Let's look at this. Emperor's New Groove, Frozen, Olaf, the Genie, Captain Hook, Mirabelle, and Simba. Oh my God.
You need to put that on your watch list.
I literally just did that.
Nice.
Watch list.
That's awesome.
Watch list. I'm going to go back and look at these. Well, not too bad, just, like 20 minutes.
I love Disney.
There's so much stuff.
They do some dumb things, but they also do some very inventive things.
They really do. No, they absolutely do.
Honestly.
Wow. Waking,
like,
sleeping.
That's the part of Disney that I remember. It reminds me why I like Disney, is that level of innovation and that level of just, let's come up, let's let our imaginations speak to us and see what happens. And that's how you get things like, you know, WALL-E and Bug's Life and all these, you know, Coco and Frozen and all these other, well, that's, you know, and all the Toy Story and all, like, all these other, you know.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
That's how you get these.
Yeah. It's very, very true. Oh, my heart is happy.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
Do you know what I saw, though, like, since we're talking about, like, nostalgia things? It's not Disney related. I don't think. No, I think they were PBS. I'm assuming you all remember the Magic School Bus.
Oh, yeah.
Mm-hmm. I think I know what you're talking about.
Did you see we were doing a live action?
I did
see
that. I
saw something about that, yeah.
With Elizabeth Banks as Miss Frizzle.
Yes. I did see the news.
Okay.
I can see her being
Miss
Frizzle.
Are we happy about this? Or is it? Yeah. Okay.
So they showed kind of a look of her in it, and I'm like, oh my gosh.
Yeah.
That's literally Miss Frizzle. She looks the part. Yeah. Except they don't have her in red hair, which, I mean, it is what it is. But
yeah.
I'm interested to see how this goes, because Magic School Bus was a huge part of at least my growing up.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, yeah. No, I definitely watched it.
Yeah, because when I was at the babysitter's, she had PBS on a lot.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, Magic School Bus is a classic.
Oh, my gosh. So good.
honestly.
I'm like, I can hear the song in my head right now. Relax and feeling cool.
They went on some wild adventures.
Uh-huh. My favorite is when they go into Ralph's like internal systems.
That's the one I always think of first because it's so crazy.
I love that one.
It's so crazy.
I also love one of the outer space ones. Those are the two that always come to my mind.
Yeah.
Yeah.
See him floating around. Yeah.
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 Oh, sorry. We're talking about innovative things. I'm like, ooh, magic school bus.
I mean, that's a big thing for us.
Yes.
Our age. Yeah.
I think it's good for the kids, too. I think
bringing
some sort of version of magic school bus into nowadays kids would be a good thing to do.
Yeah, I think that's something that would hold up. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
What's funny is I've met some people here in Ohio that were like homeschooled that couldn't watch even certain PBS shows. Really? Like Magic School Bus was one of them. I'm like, I'm sorry.
Because it had the word magic in it.
Why? Probably.
That's sad.
Like, it doesn't make any sense to me.
That's so sad.
It's just like,
why?
Why? What do you watch?
Paranoia.
And I like think about like what, like for our generation, like what was like the Christian goody good shows, which I did love the Odyssey, the Adventures of the Odyssey adventure thingy cartoon.
Not gonna lie, the only time I ever saw the Adventures of Odyssey is when I would go to random children's churches and they'd play episodes of it. And even back then, I thought it was weird. So that's just my.
So I had a VHS of it and it was like the first one. So it made sense because I knew where it started.
Yeah.
So that was the only one that I liked, but all the others were horrible. Like VeggieTales. I don't know why people like VeggieTales.
I think. For me, VeggieTales, I was like, well, it's interesting because like there's actually a lot of people I know who are adults now who didn't know VeggieTales was Christian, which is interesting. They were just like, oh, yeah, I thought it was a cute thing about talking vegetables. But anyway, for me, I think I was like just kind of out of that age range where it didn't really appeal to me. So I didn't really jump on it. But there were like my thing as a child would have been Superbook.
Oh, I remember Superbook.
I like Superbook. There was a local one that was a television station my dad used to work at. It was called Becky's Barn, which was pretty great. You probably wouldn't
remember that one.
It was pretty local to the Florida area.
Okay.
But there's one that I will not stand for slander of, despite where I am in life, is the Sandy Patty Friendship Company. Never speak ill of it in my presence. I will throw myself over it and protect it.
Sandy Patty Friendship?
Not many people knew about it. Patty
Friendship.
Like, literally some of my earliest memories was this thing.
I don't know this.
Most people don't. I don't know anyone who really does. But every now and then I'll find some people. The whole thing is just about, it's all these random little characters who come together to create a club about friendship.
Nope.
Just to be friends with people who don't have friends. And it was the sweetest thing ever, and I love it.
Why would you slander it?
That sounds nice.
That sounds nice.
Yeah, it was very, very cute.
Okay. I was looking to see what other... Yeah, because there was Adventures in Odyssey, Superbook.
Mm-hmm. You ever watch any of those old Carmen videos? Remember Carmen?
Carmen. No, I did not.
It was
Bible Man? I don't think I knew that
remember
either.
Bible Man. That was so dumb. That's there another one I used to watch in a children's church. Bible Man!
Interesting. Don't know.
Bible Man.
I'm a little concerned right now.
It's like a cross between Batman and Star Wars, but like the McDonald's version of it, or like a Publix version of it.
There's a specific show that like I can slightly see in my head, but I don't know if it was a Christian one or if it was a like PBS one. It was like a history show that talked about like Revolutionary War.
Oh, I don't know that one.
Or like went back in time to the Revolutionary War. I don't remember.
Yeah.
I was trying to see if I could find it and I can't. Yeah. Yeah, the only like Christian shows I remember like growing up in the church was Superbook, Adventures in Odyssey, and VeggieTales.
Mm-hmm.
And it drove me nuts. Because VeggieTales started in 93.
Oh, wow. I didn't know it was that old.
Yeah, it's old. Wow. So it just... didn't like it.
Yeah.
They tried to get us to watch it at church. I'm like, okay, I'm no, out.
It was,
bye.
It was pretty polarized. I remember back in the day, it was pretty polarizing. People either loved it or hated it.
They're inaccurate for me. I'm like, if you're going to do the Bible stories, like, be accurate. And there's a lot of inaccuracies in it. And I'm like, even for children's stories, and I'm like, no, let's not do that. And then this, like, the hairbrush song. Oh, God, that thing used to get stuck on my head. It would not go away.
Now, I do remember the cheeseburger song. I remember like that. I mean, I like that one.
I don't remember that one. The only one I remember is the hairbrush.
It's tasty cheeseburger. Be back for you. Oh, you don't remember that one? Oh.
No, everyone in my church used to always sing the hairbrush song.
I remember the hairbrush one, but yeah. No, I only know cheeseburger song.
That was going to be stuck in my head all day.
Yeah. Well, did you ever get those like Wow CDs when you were a kid, which was like the Christian version of Now? Yeah, it was on that. So that's how I discovered them.
Wow CDs. That's great.
I never got them. I knew about them, but I never got them.
I had, like,
Ashley didn't listen to Christian music, even though she grew up in the church.
Super interesting.
Well, good for you.
Because I thought they were all lame.
I mean, they were, but unfortunately, that's the majority of what I had access to during a certain period of time in my life. So you work with what you got. You work with what you got.
I know. Yeah. My parents, like, they didn't listen to Christian music growing up either. So, like, when I was growing up, I listened to 70s and 80s, maybe even 60s rock. Mm-hmm. I listened to country.
Yeah.
I didn't get into pop until middle school, but, like,
yeah.
My parents did not care what I listened to as long as it wasn't like Marilyn Manson.
Yeah.
Which is fair.
It was, it was, there was
kind of Korn at the time, even though Britney used to like have us listen to it in secret.
Yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. There was a brief time where it was like, we're kind of dabbling in the world of music. And then there was like a few years where it was just like, no, only Christian music forever. And then it was like, all right, let's get rid of that. Just do whatever you want. Just don't be stupid.
Okay.
So, I remember when I was like 14 and there were two HBO specials, one after another. One was NSYNC Live in New York. The other one was Bruce Springsteen Live in New York. My dad's like, let's watch both of them and just kind of see where you fall on the spectrum. Pretty much zoned out through the whole NSYNC one, but watched the entire Bruce Springsteen one. So.
Yeah. That I'm like, I'm assuming that you tracks. Went Bruce.
Right.
That tracks.
Yeah. I remember, this is going to date us, I remember when, like, NSYNC and Backstreet Boys and them would do concerts at Disney.
You remember, and they play everything on the Disney Channel, and you could watch it. And they put it on the
Disney Channel so you can watch it. Yes!
Yep. And they do music videos. The old Mickey Mouse Club.
Good old
kids.
Days.
Mm-hmm.
Yep. Good old days. Miss that.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, no, I didn't start listening to like Christian music until college, which is hilarious. Because I did listen to Reliant K, but they weren't like, their lyrics weren't overly Christian. They were a Christian band, but they weren't Christian music.
No, they were
just
pop.
So I listened to them. Yeah, I listened to them.
Having to have some themes.
Yeah, but Holly introduced me to DC Talk.
Oh, yeah.
Because that was like not a thing at my church. That was a no-no.
Really?
I remember someone talking about DC Talk, and the majority of my youth group was anti DC Talk. And if you like DC Talk or like got a tattoo, you were the devil.
That is wild. Because it's funny, because the church that I grew up in was like, DC Talk was like the band. Like if you didn't listen to DC Talk, you were lame. It was like that.
Oh yeah, no, that's like wild, you. Dude. Well, my church was very like, dear freaking Lord, they were bad.
Wow.
Like, I look back and I'm like, why did I keep going back to that church?
Yeah.
Oh, Sammy's like, yep, yeah. I know. I remember. Stupid Ashley never listens.
I mean, we were all kids, so what are you going to do? You know?
I mean,
yeah,
I spent
it was very strict.
Wow.
Yeah. My parents weren't that way, though. My parents were like, stop.
Yeah.
Don't listen to them.
Good on mom.
Oh,
and
gosh.
Ridiculous.
Yeah. Yeah. Cause if I would have actually listened to them, I probably would have ended up about like all the kids that I went to most of the kids that were in my youth group, like, I know what happened to them afterwards. And I'm like, yeah, I can see that. I understand why you went down that very bad path.
Yeah.
And come to find out, you can block this out if you need to, Sammy, in it. But my youth pastor got, he was never convicted because they didn't, like, actually go after him.
Oh, Lord, I can't see where this is going.
They fired him for child abuse, sexual child abuse.
That's so terrible.
Huh? Yeah. When I found out about it, I went to my brother right away. I'm like, hey, because it was towards the boys, not the girls.
Oh my God.
Which was why I never saw it. And I'm like, Travis, did this happen? Like, do you remember any of this? He's like, oh, I remember some sketchy things. He's like, on our trips, but I didn't go near, like, I wasn't one of his favorites, so he didn't go near me. I'm like, okay, but you did notice. He's like, yeah, now that I look back on it, yeah, it wasn't good. And I'm like, and all the boys that I know it happened, like, it somewhat happened to, it was never like, I don't think he was ever accused of rape, but it was just still very, like, not good.
Right.
From what I can think of like the boys that I knew, I'm like, oh, like, you remember Ethan who went to prom with me? Yeah, him and that group of boys were semi a part of it.
Wow.
Yeah. From what I understand.
Wow.
I got a third story from it. From
that's terrible.
Yeah. Yeah. That was where I grew up. Oh, yeah. And they still try to, he every once in a while tries to reach out to me to say hi. And I'm like, I don't know.
No, thank you.
No, thank you. His wife was my small group leader.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm like, I really want to, and he has like 8 kids. I'm like, what, like, where, I don't know. And his wife was the daughter of one of the prominent families in the church. So I think they just literally shoved it under the rug. Yeah. Yeah. And people wonder why our generation has problems with the church.
Well, these are the same types of people who are dragging, like, all the rock stars for being satanic or whatever. You're literally diddling kids. Don't come at me with that.
I mean,
crap.
Come on, right?
Yeah, like, I know.
You know? Okay, Ozzy bit the head off a couple of bats. He never touched children, so don't come at me.
Mm-hmm.
You know?
Oh, yeah, completely agreed. Mm-hmm. Completely agree.
It's not the same.
It is not the same at all. It's worse, in my opinion.
Yeah.
1000%.
Yeah.
So, you know.
That's why I went into youth ministry.
The ones who are like openly present themselves as the purest of the pure are those are the ones you got to watch out for.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. They're the worst
of
the worst.
That's what my youth pastor and his wife were like.
Yep.
Yeah. That's why as a small group leader, I'm very open with my girls. I'm very front forward. Like, I've made mistakes. I wait till certain ages.
Well,
there's an appropriate level.
There's an appropriate level, I've never tried to sugarcoat anything. Yeah. Like, I remember one of my girls came to me as a teenager after she got out of middle school. She came back. She's like, Ashley, I need to talk to him. I'm like, what's going on? She's like, her and her boyfriend ended up doing some sort of like over the shirt stuff, and it wasn't even that bad in my opinion. And she felt so bad about it. And I'm like, I looked at her. I'm like, did you enjoy it? And she's like, why are you asking me that? I'm like, seriously, did you enjoy it? Were you attracted? Like, she's like, yeah. I'm like, okay, that's okay. That's good. I'm glad. But I'm like, do you want it to happen again? She's like, no. I'm like, okay, let's talk through it. She's like, why are you being so cool? I'm like, honey, I've done worse. Chill. Like, I'm not married and I've done worse. Let's talk. Like,
no, that's a very
healthy
way. She's
like, you told me these things in middle school? I'm like, well, yeah, you were in middle school. You weren't ready for this conversation. Like,
yeah, not appropriate.
We're going to have these conversations when they come up.
Mm-hmm.
I think that's another reason why my old boss didn't like me, because I was very, like, I wasn't judgmental about these things.
Exactly. Non-judgmental. Mm-hmm.
And I would talk to them about sex and
a very
things.
Natural and perfectly natural human thing that, you know, all kinds of religion goes out of their way to shame people for and make them spend years feeling guilty for, you know.
Mm-hmm. It's like, honey, if you didn't enjoy it. That's a whole different conversation. That could have went two different ways. Like, either you're not attracted to him, or maybe we need to relook at what you're attracted to.
Yeah.
Oh yeah. There's a reason I went into youth ministry. Too many bad seeds talking to these kids.
Yeah.
I don't know how we got on this rant.
I don't know. But here we are.
We always are. Well, we should probably wrap up then.
I guess we're done.
Yeah. Because probably most of this you can take out of the podcast.
Probably. Yeah.
All right. All right, Pixie Dusters, thank you so much for joining us today on our, not critically acclaimed, One Day at Disney.
One Day at Disney,
shorts. I hope you enjoyed listening. We really encourage you to go watch some of them. Next week, we're going to be wrapping up shorts with, I believe, critically acclaimed shorts. So definitely come back and check that out. And then we'll start our August stuff. Wow. We're not even, okay. Sorry. We're ahead. Well, after that week, we'll start our August theme, which will be, I'm super excited, Disney video games.
Yep.
We are diving into the video game realm. I already got most of the notes done and ready to go. I am ahead of the game. So super excited for that month as well. So we will see you next week for wrapping up our summer of shorts.
Yeah.
Bye, Pixie Dusters.
Thanks for listening. This podcast is part of Limitless Broadcasting Network. Check out our website for information about the hosts, merch, and all of our podcasts. Production for today's episode was handled by the Dream Team, Ashley Danny and Sammy Brooksby. A final special thanks to Dan. His discerning perspective is the secret ingredient that helps us see the bigger picture.
Are you intrigued by true paranormal stories? Do you crave tales of the strange, the dark, and the mysterious? Tune into our new podcast, Bump in the Night Chronicles, produced by 1950 Studios and distributed by the Limitless Broadcasting Network. Each episode dives into chilling paranormal phenomena and spine-tingling urban legends. From ghostly encounters to hair-raising myths, we explore the unknown. So if you're brave enough and not easily scared, subscribe now to LimitlessBroadcastingNetwork.com for ad-free episodes.